Now he's going down the line and the thing gets over. Forget about it.
Foul ball.
I have a sound shame, Wayne?
I did. Yeah, I saw it on the plane.
All right.
Well, I play a song. We'll take a timeout. And, come on out to Dodger Stadium. It's a really bitchin' place to be. Who does that speed line? Okay. All right, that'll be the plate now. Brian Jordan, the thing. 264, I would say.
Any fun parts with him?
I do. I've been a homosexual for years.
Nice.
Here's one of the first pitch. Swung on. Foul ball. Out of the past main part of the throat line and says smoked meat.
And same part, I've had a bone in the heart on. I don't mind.
All right, here we go. All right, that's off his bone, man. A little man goes down there, right? And he's a midget out there. Well, that's what's going to save. Well, how about that? They've gone green, and I got green.
Yeah, you're green, too.
Yeah. I'll take a time out here with the score. Dodger nothing, and Atlanta Braves nothing. You're listening to Dodger Baseball. This has been Dodger Baseball, brought to you by Farmer John. Well, sometimes, let us smoke your meat. And by Lovely Thing. And sometimes, looks pretty good hanging between your legs. And by Only Five Call Thing.
That's what I'm saying, bud.
That's what.
Crap.
Crap.
That's what I heard. I swear that's what I heard. I didn't understand a word of what they were saying. I heard balls being hit. I think I must either have a brain tumor or they have brain tumors. I think either Porter and Mundy have brain tumors. I do. Hey, Rick, just a little professional advice. Don't get so silky smooth, baby, that I don't know what you're saying. When you're doing that, well, just get out of here and talk like a white man, will you? Of course, I'm kidding with the white man crack. Ow. But just say it so I understand it, man. These guys that are trying to be the second coming of Vin Scully, I don't get it. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, but nobody's watching baseball anymore, right? Isn't it dead? Aren't they going to contract? Is it over? Pretty cool. I tell my godson is into baseball. He's playing Little League out in Arcadia, and I tell him, hey, baseball's dead, man. And I like to watch him cry. Nobody's playing baseball anymore, man. He loves baseball. He's like, if nobody's playing baseball, this kid is unbelievable. He's like my 10-year-old godson. He can name a player from every major league team. He pretty much has most of the stats. He loves this game. He loves the Oakland A's, digs the Dodgers, just like his father, hates football. I got these Avenger tickets, by the way. And the first game, isn't it tonight? The Avengers are playing New York, but they're on the road. I got these Avenger seats. I got some sweet tickets. I'm like five rows back from the midfield line, which is a 25-yard line. Hey, whatever. You know, it's arena football. I recognize that it's not all that exciting, but it's football. It's something. There's no football in this town. So, I want to go and watch the game, and I'm really jazzed about it. Chris helped me get these tickets, and I got four seats. And I said to my godson, you want to go see Avengers football? He says, no, my dad hates it. I can't go. Okay. I can't give these things away for love or money. See, what I want to do is basically go to a lot of games, get in with that Casey Wasserman kid, get invited up there to the luxury box, start, one hand washing the other, kind of just greasing a few palms, get to know the heavyweights, and who knows, maybe get a part ownership in the team, quit this gig, become a sports mogul, and my life is set. It has a hollow ring, doesn't it? But that's what I would like to do. What I'm really going to do is just go to the damn games and have some kid like 20, 21, spill beer on my back. Hey, what are you doing here, man? Are you a little bit old for this? I got three boys. I was going to say four, but one of them's a girl. That's right. Yeah, one is a girl. Thank God. I have four boys. No, there's a girl here. And these guys, they ain't into any sport other than Halo, Myth, Grand Theft Auto. There have been, the most latest thing was we bought them Xbox. And here was the deal. They put together $300 of their own money to buy Xbox. And then the deal was we'd kick in $100.50 to buy a couple of games for the Xbox, which is a brand new gaming system. And so they put together this little contract that we would sign. And Marie and I signed it and said, yes, we will buy the $150. And then the crap started to hit the fan when the second oldest, who was the one that put together the whole contract, I kind of let the crap hit the fan because I said to him, so how you're putting in equal with your brothers for this Xbox? Yeah. How much are you getting paid for putting this contract together?
What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is you put this whole contract together. You wrote the whole thing up on your computer. You formulated the entire thing. Aren't you getting paid a negotiation fee?
What's that?
What's that? So, you know, already the things start to happen. And, you know, so he goes to his brothers.
How about a negotiation fee?
What's that? You're never talking about a negotiation. Well, that's, you know, I don't have enough money. Oh, it was beautiful. Big fist fight. So he got a couple extra bucks out of these guys for a negotiation fee. He's learning. He's learning. They got Xbox. They got Nintendo 64. They got Dreamcast. They got a Sony PlayStation. They got Sony PlayStation 2. They got it all. And still they're not happy. Still they're moderately dissatisfied. Still there's some reality that they haven't visited yet. Still there's some mayhem that they haven't been a part of. Some bloodletting. Some kind of violence that they've yet to taste. I know what it is. The Marine Corps. Would you guys join the freaking army, okay? If you're that into that. These guys can't get their gaming in on a Saturday morning, and it's almost as if you didn't give the schizophrenic his medicine. It's like, it's like a heroin addict didn't get his methadone. They don't get their gaming in on a Saturday morning, and it is all hell to pay for the rest of the day. And they're negotiating stuff about the games that they want to play, and can we get a couple extra minutes on the game? And after a while, I just some kind of an, there's a parent gene that kicks in. There's a parent chemical that sort of courses through the brain. And the chemical basically sends this message. Screw up their fun. Screw up their fun. Go in and make them cry. Go in and make them cry. So I'll just walk in and get, okay, time to get off the game. What? We just got out of it. What are you talking about? No, it's 10 o'clock. It's a Saturday morning. Go out and play ball. Go out and explore. What are you talking about, man? This is 2002. Nobody explores. Go and get on a bike and do what I did. That was back in the olden days, which you did. We used to get on bikes and explore and go down into the canyons. What are you talking about? Tears. Oh, yeah, it's a whole scene. Why don't you guys go out and use the pool? You know, there are some kids in this world that don't have pools. They have mud puddles. They have mud puddles, and they play in mud. Yeah, well, then have them come over and use the pool. All right, that did it. Unplug the game. Well, I was just kidding. Unplug the game. So that's that parental. It's like a neurotransmitter. It says, go in there and mess them up. Make them cry. One time, I got to tell you this story. We went to Disney World last year, took the kids down there, did the whole deal, put them on the ship, did the cruise. Well, we stopped off at Lake Buena Vista Village. It's downtown Disney is what it's called now. It used to be called Lake Buena Vista Village. You know, you go in there, there's all kinds of stuff going on. So Maria, my wife, she sees a sign, and there's a little amphitheater seating area, and there's a stage. And she says, oh, look, it's a high school band playoff of some kind. It wasn't really a band. It was a group. It was like trumpeters, or it was just small bands of high schoolers. Let's go watch it. Honey, come on. Oh, man, okay. So all six of us sit down in the front row. Well, out comes this group of people, and I'm trying to be kind. Well, I'm going to say it. It was very admirable. All of the girls weighed a lot, but they still danced, you know, ballet style. Imagine a gazelle leap on, like the Bolshoi Ballet being executed by a girl that's about 190. And they didn't shave their underarms, but I'm not making a judgment on that. I'm not making a judge saying that they were 190 and they didn't shave their underarms. And that's fine. That's fine. Another girl was not heavy. She was actually very thin. In fact, she was a little too thin, and she had shaved one half of her face and head. Now, this was Maria sitting there, and if you can imagine her sitting kind of moved forward on the seat as the band is playing, and these girls are leaping gazelle-like through the air at 190 pounds, and the other one with the half-shaved face, and she's sitting there snapping her finger, oh, this is good. I'm a little girl from New Orleans, and she's sitting, and the other five of us are hiding our faces. We're, yeah, looks like that cab ride's going to be, no, it's not over yet. So ever since then, the kids remember that, and they bring it up almost as if it's a, oh, my God, do you remember what Mom did to us in Orlando?
That should warrant at least another half hour on PlayStation.
All right, you're right. You brought it up. Okay, Jesus, I thought I was going to get you guys. Come on, you guys, get off the game. Don't you remember Orlando? Okay, keep playing. 1-800-449-8686. So, Robert Blake, what do you think? Should he walk? It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Hold on, we want to bring Harvey Wireman on the program to talk a little bit about the Robert Blake situation. And Harvey is an attorney law, now retired, but does some pro bono criminal work. And basically just to get an overview of what's going on with the Blake case from a legal perspective. Harvey, thanks for joining the program.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Mr. Wireman, the Robert Blake arrest yesterday also included a bodyguard.
Right. That was the, that's what I heard. But he slept at the house, so I think it was natural for people to want him to be, to the police to want to speak to him.
No, he lived at the house.
Did he?
Who? No, you said that he lived at the house.
Yes, he did. I you're talking about who?
I'm talking about Robert Blake.
Yes, he lived at his house. Whatever. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I'm talking about the bodyguard.
Well, the bodyguard lived at the house, yes. And was in a room when Mr. Blake came home. So the police obviously want to talk to him.
But he was arrested for what?
No, he was not arrested. The police simply want to talk to him because he was watching television when Mr. Blake came back and went down the side of the house. But you saying that Robert Blake lived at his own house, I think, betrays a certain lack of information about this. So that...
I didn't say that, Mr. Wireman. I said that Robert Blake, his bodyguard, lived at the house.
And I am repeating, yes. You said he was arrested.
I saw a man who I assume was the bodyguard being let off in cuffs.
No, are you an attorney?
No, I'm not.
Then would you allow me?
Go ahead.
The man that was let off in cuffs was Robert Blake.
No. There was a guy on the street who was being let off in cuffs.
Robert Blake.
That was Robert Blake?
Yes.
They had this guy in a prone position.
Yes, and they were cuffing him.
Yeah.
That was Blake.
Well, why did I hear that a bodyguard got arrested?
Well, they didn't arrest any, but the man who was living on the property, who, when Mr. Blake came home that night, he was watching TV. He heard a bump on the wall, so they want to talk to him. As far as I know, that's why when they found the bloody glove, because they heard a bump on the wall, so they went around and looked for it.
When they talked to Robert Blake's bodyguard, he was sitting in a house and he heard a bump on the wall?
Yes. Where you been? It's been all over the news.
And then they found a bloody glove.
Right. But the problem is, they'd had an argument. She went to the end of the boat. And then apparently she fell in.
Who?
Natalie Wood.
I'm talking about Robert Blake.
So am I. What seems to be the problem here?
What's Natalie Wood going to the end of the boat got to do with this?
I'm explaining to you, as an attorney, the steps by which the police put the evidence together.
In the Robert Blake shooting?
In the Natalie Wood drowning.
I didn't ask you about the Natalie Wood...
Whoa. I didn't live 79 years to be yelled at. Do you understand?
I didn't ask you at...
Lower your voice.
I didn't ask you about the Natalie Wood drowning.
Then what are you asking me about?
Robert Blake allegedly shooting his wife.
Yes. He took a cab to the a limousine to the airport. Then he came home and went to sleep. And his wife shot him.
His wife didn't shoot him. He shot her.
Well, that's a good trick. He goes to sleep and she shoots him, and then he wakes up and he shoots her? How'd that happen? You know, Mr. Hickory, again, all of the things that...
Whose wife shot him?
You're talking about Phil Hartman. I'm telling you...
I'm not talking about Phil Hartman. I'm not...
Oh, no, no. You're talking about Shatner, right?
Not Shatner. I'm talking about Robert Blake.
Well, they didn't find him in the bottom of a pool. They found William Shatner's wife.
Yes, I know that.
Good. Then why do you keep bringing up Blake?
Because I don't want to talk about Shatner's wife. And I don't want to talk about Natalie Wood falling off the end of a boat. And I don't care if Phil... Well, I do care that Phil Hartman was killed. But don't tell me that his wife shot him and then he woke up and shot her.
I didn't say that. You did. You said Robert Blake got shot in the head by his own wife and then shot her. How the hell is that going to happen?
It can't happen because I ain't asking about that.
All right. You're asking me about Robert Blake.
Yeah, I know. Why don't you tell me how he OD'd on some pills after he had sex with Robert Kennedy?
Have you seen the case file? Because that's...
Yeah, is that in that?
Yeah, well, yes, that happens to be a speculation that she had sex with Robert Kennedy.
Who? Marilyn Monroe, right?
Yeah. You know something, Phil?
Look at Harvey.
You know, just shut up for a minute and let me say something, Phil, because I've known you for a lot of years.
Harvey, I'm not...
Just, will you allow an old man to say something?
Go ahead.
I've noticed that you, on the weekend, you're hitting the ball a long way with that Don Julio Blanco. And
this isn't about me drinking, okay?
Now, just, would you allow an old man to say his piece?
Go ahead.
One of the greatest Latin singers of her time... gets shot in a motel room, and you can't seem to put two and two together in this deal.
You talking about the great Latin singer Robert Blake?
Are you stupid? I'm talking about Selena. And the fact that when someone put that eight ball up her rear end, everybody...
Harvey, I
Why do you interrupt me?
I asked you...
Why do you interrupt me? I'm 79 years old. Don't you think that I've earned a little respect? The fact that a man's own father would kill him.
Robert Blake or...
Marvin Gaye. Robert Blake. You asked me about William Shatner, and you keep going with Robert Blake. Now, like I told you, they found Marilyn Monroe in the bottom of the pool. And when they finally pulled her out, Phil Hartman's wife shot her. Don't you understand any of these things?
Did Phil Hartman's wife shoot her after Marvin Gaye's father shot him?
Marvin Gaye's father did shoot him, yeah.
Shot?
Marvin Gaye.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say Robert Blake.
Do I look stupid, too? Do I look as dumb as you?
So let me get this straight. Robert Blake was found in the bottom of a pool after he shot his wife, who had shot him.
Right.
And then he went to Texas and shoved an eight ball up Selena's ass and shot her.
Exactly.
And Marvin Gaye helped out in any of this?
Oh, but no, he drowned Natalie Wood.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he shoved Natalie Wood off the back of a boat. Oh, well, Harvey, thank you very much for your legal opinion.
Thank you very much. But what you need to do, Phil, is shut up. Apparently, when they found her, her head was in the steering wheel, by the way.
Who?
Jane Mansfield.
Yeah, right. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
So I want to thank the guy, I think his name is Greg, and Greg sent me a book. I just received it today, Greg. I got it from Amazon.com. It's a book about the history of the Palestinian people, and I'm sure that when you sent me that book, you wanted me to educate myself as to the history of the Palestinian people, which I certainly appreciate. And when I opened the book up, my glance fell to a paragraph referring to a 1921 riot of Palestinians that killed 46 Jews. So even before 1948, Palestinians were killing Jews. Well, thank you very much for the book, Greg. You see, I'm not saying the Palestinian people don't have a culture, don't have a land, don't have a history. I'm saying that gradually, slowly but surely, and inexorably, they are surrendering it to an uncivilized behavior. They're surrendering their civilized behavior to uncivilized behavior. They're surrendering their souls. They are surrendering themselves to barbaric behavior, hoping that they're going to get a country out of that. I honestly don't believe they think they're going to get a country now. I think all they want to do now is just kill Jews. I think that's the Palestinian thing now, is just kill as many Jews as they can. That's why the whole thing that's going on down there ain't about Israelis and Palestinians. It's about the West against the Arabs. It's been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. So they might have had a civilization at one time. They might have had a country, and they might have had a lot of great things. Now, I heard the president of Lebanon say, suicide bombers, they're kind of... They're a good idea because these are people who, they got no other alternative. They're people that are trying to resist. And what are they going to do, huh? What are they going to do? Well, they can start by blowing themselves up, not their kids. How about that? That's a good start. And why don't you, the president of Lebanon, why don't you strap one on, man? There's nothing you guys can say that will ever, ever make that right. I can listen to these guys, as I've listened to them for weeks, talk about the horrible things that happened in the Jenin refugee camp, the Holocaust, the massacre, all of the charged words, all of the unsubstantiated propaganda. I've listened to it before. I happen to personally think, and I don't want to talk about myself, I got a real good bullcrap detector. Maybe it's because of what I do for a living. Because what I do for a living is basically, as the L.A. Times once wrote, play a three-hour phone prank on the rest of the country. So maybe I got a really good bullcrap detector. But the fact of the matter remains, I know BS when I hear it, and I know when a guy's trying to propagandize me when I hear it, and I know when people are saying massacre, as in Serbia, when in point of fact they're talking about 15 guys with guns, mortars, rockets, and plastic explosives that the Israelis had to take out. So the Jenin refugee camp, look like a bad thing to you? What do you think is going to happen when you send one of your kids into a supermarket to blow themselves up? So you ask the question, okay, what the Israelis did in the West Bank, is that worse than sending some kid strapped with plastic into a bakery or into a supermarket? And I guarantee you this, you'll never get a straight answer. Never will you get a straight answer. Never will you get a straight answer. So what the Israelis did over there in the West Bank... is bad, right? Isn't that bad? Oh, it's a terrible thing. Is it worse than sending a kid, an 18-year-old girl strapped with a bomb, into a bakery to murder innocent human beings just buying dinner? Well, you have to understand the head. I knew it, man. I wouldn't get a straight answer out of you. I knew we'd begin to qualify, wouldn't we? Well, why don't you ask me this? Phil, what they did in the Jenin refugee camp... is that good or is that bad? Is that worse or better than what the suicide bombers did? I can give you a straight answer. It's better. It's better. That's a country defending itself, going in and neutralizing the scumbags that perpetrate this. And they don't have any interest in building a country now. The Palestinians will never have a country now. It's over. You can kiss it goodbye. And guess who sold them down the river? Israel? No, the guy that sold them down the river, they can't cinch it up enough to admit to. The guy that sold them down the river and shoved the knife so far into their backs, it's coming out their fronts, is that little clown sitting there in Ramallah right now, Yasser Arafat. That's the guy that sold those people so far down the river, man. It's going to take, you know, you're going to have to go ahead and buy your own boat to go catch up. That's how far down the river they are. You see what happens? I start getting off on this stuff. Some guy sends me a book about Palestine, and now I'm off on this. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, here's a poll. 6 out of 10 Americans think that we should take military action against Iraq, even if the Arabs don't like it. How do you like that? Even if the Arabs say we shouldn't, well, a majority of us say we're going to do it anyway. Here's Ahmad on the Phil Hendry Show. Ahmad?
Yeah, I'm with you. How you doing?
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah, I have something to say about you guys always saying what the United States has to do to the Palestinians because of the suicide bombing, which is, in my opinion, definitely wrong. I'm not going to defend that in any way, shape, or form. But at the same time, why we don't say what we have to do to the Israelis that they have the military going to Jenin and Nablus and Tul Kerem and killing civilian people. Why we don't say anything about that?
Civilians? No, they were killing armed Palestinians.
Maybe 1%.
No, they were killing.
99% is civilian.
No, you're wrong, Ahmad. They were killing armed Palestinians who were shooting mortars, hand grenades, and rifles and M16s at them.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Certainly, go right ahead.
How you are so sure you are?
Well, that's a very interesting.
No, let me finish the question.
Okay, please. Go ahead.
You are so confident, like you are there.
Yes.
And you haven't even been there. You didn't see nothing. Did you see the children and the woman that been taken out of the rubble today in Jenin?
Did you see them? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Did you see the guts they were pulling off the wall in that supermarket after those people were blown to bits?
We don't want to talk about that, do we? This is wrong. And you've been talking about that all day, all night.
Just about 10 minutes.
You never talked about the civilian that's being killed in Palestine.
No civilians were killed in Palestine. Armed militants were killed. And your propagandizing won't change the facts. What do you think of that?
I think that your propaganda.
No, you
not,
are. Because, Ahmad, one thing's for sure. One thing's for sure. Neither one of us was there.
On TV, sir.
One thing's for sure. Neither one of us is there. You're not there. I'm not there. So where are you getting your information?
Can I ask you the question again?
Wait a minute.
See the women and children that being taken out of the rubble
in
Palestine, in Jenin and Tulkarem, sir?
Yes, I did. But I don't know the context out of which that film was taken. Were they taken out of the rubble because they were in there looking for things? Were they buried in it? And I'll ask you the same question again about the people who were blown to bits in Jerusalem.
They are wrong. This is one mistake they're doing.
I will ask you, as a reasonable man, a question.
Or form.
All right, good.
I'm repeating myself.
Then, as a reasonable man.
Why don't you guys be with humanity?
As a reasonable man, Ahmad, I would ask you this.
How could you have a good question?
You
have a good conscience not talking about the civilians are getting killed in Palestine?
Because, Ahmad, I believe the Arab world is expert at lying and propagandizing. I believe that the one person that's let the Palestinian people down is Yasser Arafat. He's the one that's encouraged young people to murder themselves in the name of a cause that he has the guts to fight for himself.
Okay, I'm not gonna, what are you saying is
absolutely
wrong.
But you know what, I wanted to ask you a question.
I don't think the guy is supporting that.
I wanted to ask you another question. No, wait a minute. No, hold on.
Sure.
A guy walks into a, you know what I'm gonna say, a person walks in and blows themselves to bits. Your solution for that is to sit on your hands and do nothing about it, correct?
Actually, how you know? Maybe he's doing a lot of things.
No. But if a man blows himself up in a market and murders innocent people, if you were running the Israeli government or if you were the mayor of that town, your solution would be, well, you know, they deserved it, and not do anything.
No, sir. No, don't even put words in my mouth. This is absolutely, definitely out of the question wrong. This is one mistake.
Can I ask you what you would do?
Maybe out of frustration. I'm not going to even
Can I ask you what you would do about it? What would you do about it?
If
somebody walked into a supermarket, blew themselves up, murdered 20 people, what would you do?
What do you mean? As what?
How would you defend those people? What would you do? What would be the solution if you were the Israelis to the problem of people blowing themselves up in markets, in bakeries, and all over the place? What would you do about that?
Well, I will try to find out who they are, and then I will try to arrest them or kill them even.
I think that's what Israel's doing, and yet you're finding fault with that.
No, the problem with me about that they are killing the civilians, and that's what I'm talking about.
This whole thing about killing civilians, Ahmad, you don't have any direct information about that, and neither do I. You're just buying whatever it is that the Arab world is selling you, maybe just the way I'm buying what Israel's selling me. But you don't know that they're killing civilians. I heard the Israeli army say that they're killing armed Palestinian militants. And
okay,
guess what?
Would you call a little body that's obviously a 3 years old armed Palestinian, sir?
You know what? I don't believe you saw a dead 3 year old. I think you're lying. I think you are being emotionally charged in your speech to try to make a point. But I don't think you saw a dead 3 year old.
Okay, let me ask you another question.
You didn't, did you?
You
didn't see a dead 3 year old. This is the way you guys work. A dead 3 year old now, huh?
Can I ask you another question,
sir?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Okay. The question is, what you always talk about Arafat, that he's a terrorist and support terrorism and support the suicide bombers. You saying that. Okay,
he's a loser
fine.
Is what he
How
is.
How come, can I say something, please?
Yeah.
Let me finish the question,
go
please.
Ahead.
How come you never say anything about Sharon being a war criminal?
A war criminal?
In an Israeli
I know the definition
court
of war criminal. I know
committing massacre.
I know the definition of war criminal. I know the definition of war criminal. I know the definition of war criminal. That's why I don't call him one. I know what the United Nations calls a war criminal.
What is? What's your opinion?
A war criminal is the intentional waging of war against innocent civilians, which the Israelis don't do, and Sharon hasn't done. But you know what? You can hide behind civilians, you can dress as a civilian and pull a gun out when you find it convenient and get shot, and then somebody starts crying crocodile tears and saying, oh, poor civilians are getting killed. What is it with the Palestinian militia that they have to hide among civilians? Why don't they come out and fight like men? Have you got a pipeline to them? You may want to ask them that question.
Okay,
why can't they fight
that,
like
right?
a bunch
okay,
of
let
men?
Me answer. Let me answer your question.
Go ahead.
They are living there. They are living in these houses. They are living around Sevilla. This is their house. This is their land. The Israelis are the occupiers. They are inside their land. We already gave them some of the land to live in it, which is in 1948. They took all of the land. We agree. We want to live neighbors with them. We want to be peaceful with them.
That's why they were attacked in 1967. That's why
they're our cousins.
That's why the Arabs have been attacking them. That's why Arabs have been attacking them for over 50 years.
They're not been attacking them.
Oh, I see.
We never attacked.
What do you call
what
Egypt and Jordan did?
They launched the attack.
Ah,
even in 1967.
I knew we were going to get to that. They launched the attack.
Even in 1967, and you can research that, sir.
Ahmad, I have researched it.
You can read any book.
I have researched it. So what you're telling me is that Israel launched a two-front war. They attacked Jordan and they attacked Egypt for no reason whatsoever. They decided to expose two flanks of their country. Now, that's what you call intelligent warfare. Jordan was going to attack them.
Can I answer that? No. What I'm saying is they gave a reason for that. They said that this Egypt and Syria and Jordan, they had a lot of military on the border. But what I'm saying is that they launched the attack. Everybody is saying in your show, and everybody's calling, they're saying that the Arab launched the attack in 1967.
The Egyptians and the Jordanians and the Syrians were getting ready to liquidate that country. They were getting ready to attack. And because they got their asses kicked in the Six-Day War and again in the Yom Kippur War, now they're pulling this suicide bombing crap out of their head.
So you agree with me? So you agree with me that they launched the attack in 1967?
I agree
that Israel... Do you
agree or not? I agree. I agree that they launched a defensive war.
Because everybody else in your show is saying that the Arab launched the attack in 1967.
Was justified too in launching that attack. Justified, and I'll tell you something else too. When the Palestinians and the Arab world begin to learn, when the Arab world begins to learn how to actually fight in a war where somebody shoots back, then I'll have a little bit respect for them. But as long as they're sending kids strapped with bombs into supermarkets, they're not behaving like men. They're not behaving like men. They're behaving like women, motherless.
Only that. Part of the people that think
right.
like that. I will
let me ask you something. When I start hearing from some Palestinians, man, who've got some guts, but they'll get shot every time they say what they want to say.
Yes, sir.
What? Then I got to take a break. What?
What do you want me to say? I'm sorry.
I don't know. I said any time a Palestinian speaks up against Yasser Arafat or against this whole jihad that these Palestinians seem to be waging, they aren't heard from again.
Okay, sir,
there's no freedom of speech in the West Bank.
Bombing. I made myself clear. But I'm also against, and I don't appreciate the Israeli people electing Ariel Sharon, a war criminal, to lead them to peace with the Palestinians.
All right, Ahmad, but it'll come as a shock to you to know that there are Arab Israelis, there are Arab members of the Knesset, there's a huge Palestinian Israeli population. In a generation, in 25 years, Israel will cease to exist as a Jewish state. They'll all be Arabs. So you know
I
what?
Understand. If they, I know
all right.
I,
so
I have,
you know what?
I
all you guys got to do is sit on your hands. Forget this suicide bombing. Just sit on your hands and wait. The Arabs will take over Israel anyway. And the fact of the matter is, Arabs elected Sharon just as much as Israelis. At a point like this, I want to say something like, "I'm Rush Limbaugh." 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
We're talking about Israel and Palestine, and I wanted to make this further point. Beretta wasn't even that good of a show, especially with that goofy hat he wore. Okay, here's Letitia on the Phil Henry Show. Letitia?
Yes, I'd just like to say, I don't think that it's right for people to hurt other people or kill other people without just cause. And I believe that that's true for the Israelis as well as for the Palestinians. After the Holocaust, no one took the land in Germany who performed all kinds of atrocities to the Jewish people and gave it to the Jewish people. They took the land where they are now in Israel and gave it to them in 1948. Now, how would you feel if someone came to your home and said, well, you can't live here anymore. We've decided that we want to make reparations for African-American people living in the United States, and we've decided to give them your property as payment towards the work that they did for free. You wouldn't like that very much. And
well, that's not what happened, though, Letitia. That's not what happened. The problem is people don't have a thorough understanding of the history of that region of the world. There were Jews living in Palestine. There
That's
were Jews
true.
Living in Palestine for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. They were living there well before 1948. They were there, and the strife, by the way, in Palestine, people think it started in 1948. Strife between Palestinians and Jews was going on many decades before that. The people of Palestine, the Jews and the Arabs, were at war with each other long before 1948. But the fact of the matter remains, there were native Palestinians who were Jewish living there. So this isn't a matter of a bunch of people coming in and squatting necessarily. Although, yes, there was an exodus from Europe. There were Jews going there. The United Nations did something about a problem that existed for thousands of years. The Jewish people had been thrown out of every country they'd ever been in, and the horror culminated in the 1930s and 40s with the systematic state-sponsored murder of 6 million of them. The United Nations came about in the 40s and said, you know what, we got to, out of decency, we got to do something about this. There isn't a country in the world that wants them. There isn't a country in the world that will have them for more than 5 seconds. There is a Jewish presence in Palestine now. Let's see if we can partition this country, see if we can have Israelis and Palestinians living side by side. The UN was not nefarious. The UN might have been mistaken, but it is wrong to say that there weren't Jews there already, because it just isn't true.
Well, the same way the UN was mistaken when they did that, maybe they should do something to fix it now.
I know. Well, I was going to say something.
Why don't we just take some land?
I was going to say something about ovens, but maybe... Huh?
Why don't we just take some land in Germany?
Okay, that's a good idea. Let's ask the Germans. I'm sure they'd love that. Phil Henry Show.